The Money Show.
Business Unusual.
With Colin Cullis.
The Baker Man can, if you consider biscuits, of course, Baker's Biscuits, one of South Africa's most venerable brands, and Mondelez, confirmation today, Colin Cullis, that Mondelez is talking to the owners of Baker's Biscuits, that's AVI, to buy the snacks business of AVI, which includes Bowman's Biscuits and Baker's Biscuits and Willard's Chips. So what are you going to teach us tonight about Business Unusual, Mondelez International, and a pack of biscuits?
Well, Bruce, I knew very little about all of that, other than there was this notion that despite there being thousands of brands that we know and love for all the various snacks we eat, they variably are owned and managed by a very small number of companies. And so when I heard you mention in one of your business reports that Mondelez may be looking to acquire some more South African brands from AVI, I thought, I wonder if there is an interesting story or a little bit of disruption to mention about it. And oh boy, there is. Both because of how big business kind of grew out of this sort of notion, but also picking up on one of the brands that Mondelez International owns, the Oreo, which has a fascinating history spanning centuries, to be fair, but really interesting how the various business elements and very similar business elements that apply to very large businesses, multinationals, and even some of the biggest tech companies work with regards to mergers and acquisitions and marketing. So this is how I wind up disappearing down that rabbit hole. And because Mondelez International or Mondelez South Africa, we have a local subsidiary that looks after things like Chappies. That's the local brand that looks after. But internationally, it looks after many.
Chappies is made by Mondelez.
It's owned by Mondelez. And so, yes, made in South Africa under their label. But they're big.
I didn't know that. There should be number one on the Chappie paper should be, do you know that I'm made by an American company called Mondelez? That should be number one. Sorry.
Well, there is one then for you. But the notion that all Cadbury's chocolates, you kind of imagine, but Cadbury's is, there's a British company, right? Well, it's Mondelez International that owns all the rights to the various Cadbury's chocolates. And here we know by the name. So certainly the South African one we know is the Chomp, which I think comes from South Africa. But now, as I went disappearing down this rabbit hole, I'm completely confused. I have no idea where half these brands come from. They have most of the chewing gum that we know. So whether that be Stimerol or Clarets or Strident or Trident and all of those sort of names, and soon maybe Chappies. And then other biscuit types under the big brand that I'm going to be touching on today called Nabisco and its origins, which gave us the Oreos. And the story kind of goes back, and I jokingly mentioned the line of Polly wants a cracker, that line that when I went to go and find out where does this actually come from, does it have anything to do with real crackers and pirates? There was a kind of a real connection, even though it's real origin goes back to a Shakespearean era play and the fact that parrots at the time were considered to be wonderful little pets and curiosities. Nevertheless, pirates were known to have them. In fact, they saw them as a great little opportunity to bring them back to the UK or anywhere else where they're going, either to make some cash out of them or if times got bad, just to snack on them. But what you would typically find on not just pirate ships, but most ships, because there were challenges with how much food you could take and what you could store, there was this idea of taking these flour-baked biscuits that would last for a very long time at sea, and so were ideal for very long trips, but tasted kind of terrible. And typically, you know, you'd have to stick them in water or anything else to try and fill them out. And, you know, in other places where they'd be used, you'd make sort of a soup and then chuck these biscuits in and away you go. And in some parts of America, I don't think in South Africa anyway, there's still this idea of adding biscuits to your food, but it's not the kind of biscuits that we know. Those biscuits became a lot more popular once the sugar industries grew up in the Caribbean. People started adding sugar to everything. So, of course, they added them to biscuits. And then biscuits became hugely popular as a snack rather than this thing you just try to fill out your not-so-tasty gruel. And then here's where the first big business principle comes from. Because bakers, and there were, you know, dozens of them, sprung up all over the show. But their challenge was they had to go and individually bargain to try and get the wheat from the producers or get the various other ingredients from the local producers. And that obviously was a little tricky. While two brothers, the Luce brothers, hit upon the idea, which they took from the oil industry at the time that was also booming, of saying, if we merge with a couple of other bakeries, not only could we grow the footprint of where we can sell our baked products, but we buy more raw ingredients. And so we can argue for better deals from the actual producers, which they went about doing. Which proved to be highly popular for them, causing the rest of the bakers to start form sort of an arrangement and conglomerates. Till finally, there were three in the sort of northeast US, where most of the baked goods stuff were being consumed. And at some point, you know, that drove prices down, which obviously made consumers very happy. They were making more and more than you can imagine. But rather than keeping the competition going, they wind up coming together and deciding to merge all three together into a single big baking company. That was the birth of the National Baking Company, which we now know as the Nabisco, or let me not say we know, the Americans know as Nabisco. We have no idea what it is, other than every now and then you see that strange little logo of theirs, which is kind of a circle with what looks like a cross, but with two bars on it. The same circle cross with two bars that you'll see on the Oreo biscuits, if you've ever bothered to look at one long enough before dunking it in your milk or just
no. The Oreo biscuit box is good for only one thing, and that is to be thrown away. It's to protect the contents, and it gets ripped off. It gets disposed of immediately because, like Pringles, once you pop, you can't stop.
Indeed, and you know that's one of the innovations that Nabisco did give the biscuit world prior to them creating boxes, and they actually put a little greaseproof paper inside to protect the biscuits. Biscuits were sold in barrels or just anything; they were just loose, and so you can imagine loads of them got broken and smashed up. But anyway, the story of how the Oreo came about requires us to go back to those Loose brothers, who were kind of hard done by the wheeling and dealing when this was formed. One of the lawyers involved was a little more shrewd than people would have liked. Anyway, the Loose brothers went off and created their own new bakery. And because at the time, these large bakeries had become known for adding filler material, for want of a better word, the baked goods weren't always absolutely exactly what you thought you'd get in there. Some of the flour maybe wasn't the best grade, et cetera, et cetera. So they decided they're going back to first principles and would use only the best ingredients and wanted to name it after something that sounded as pure as they could imagine. They hit upon the idea that water was this thing that was so pure for them. And so the word they came up with, Hydrox. Now, Hydrox as a biscuit name, I think is terrible. I can't even imagine walking into a shopping center and saying, can I have a box of Hydrox, please? Nevertheless, that Sunshine Bakery, the bakery that they did form, made them for over 90 years, and they only went out of production in 1999. At that point, being owned and re-owned by somebody else, but it was the Kellogg's company who finally retired the name. And this is kind of where the story comes back to the Mondelez International and their interest here in South Africa. Because one of the things that has been happening in the US, certainly, is that you had this massive rise of a bunch of brands and American consumers, well, they're the world's best consumers, so they buy lots of the stuff. And then, you know, consumption would rise to a point, and then it's really just big brands owning lots of small brands and doing lots of marketing, which effectively just cannibalizes one of their brands with another brand. They're not really growing the pie, as it were, because the Americans can't basically eat any more pie. So the idea has been to say they're going to start looking elsewhere, to the emerging markets, to see how they can sell more of these various snack foods to the rest of the world, which for the most part, certainly in emerging parts of the world, you know, we're becoming more affluent, where our palates are increasing. We're looking for some interesting other snacks. And so South Africa, Africa is certainly a good place for somebody to watch the rise and rise of the snack food companies. Certainly while almost the other way, it's going almost the other way in the US, where they're going back to sort of artisanal, locally based things, much more expensive, certainly, but rather than the big bulk and cheap priced sort of snack type foods. And so it was Leaf Foods who in 2015 decided to resurrect the brand. The owner had done quite well for himself and felt he really missed his Hydrox cookies. So he reintroduced the brand, which have been around now since then. And, you know, there's a love them or hate them, the people who say, yes, this is the original one, and Oreos is just a horrible ripoff. Oreo fans will tell you, no ways, Hydrox is fine, but Oreos is the only thing for them. But it just shows you that difference between, you know, how the two different styles of food are coming around. And again, how big business sometimes operates. There is, or there was, a court case filed against Mondelez for saying that their agents, because they are so massive, they basically choose which brands go on the shelves at the big supermarkets. And so whenever the Hydrox guys were just going to check in on stores, they would find their biscuits hidden away, pushed to the back, made only one wide, invariably by the guys that were probably from Mondelez doing that. A little side note there, the name Mondelez, when it was created after, oh man, it goes crazy. So Nabisco merged with R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, crazy combo, but amazing how many food companies and tobacco companies did merge over the last couple of years, possibly because, you know, mass-produced products, massive distribution is kind of their game. So whether it be food or cigarettes, it's kind of a similar game. Anyway, at some point, Nabisco, more and more conglomerations eventually taken over by Philip Morris. Philip Morris took over Kraft. Kraft merged with them. And then at some point, they split out Kraft's sort of grocery businesses and their snack food businesses, and the snack food businesses had to choose a new name. Mondelez is supposedly Mond, as in the French for world, and Delez, as in from delicious, was the way that this name was invented only 5 years ago or so. So now we're at the point where we've got, actually, where are we at the point? We've got our Oreo cookies. They're the world's best known brands. There is some wobbles with who is happy with them and how they're being built. And by 2011, they are so massive that the Oreo Nabisco and the Oreo factory in Chicago is the world's largest bakery. 170,000 square meters producing billions of Oreos every year with over 4,000 staff. But also around 2015, there is an investment from a big hedge fund. They're looking for profits. So they say, look to start cutting costs. And of course, US-based production is a lot higher than you would elsewhere in the world. So in 2015, they embarked upon a outsourcing operation. So the world's largest bakery got scaled down. It got moved to Mexico for most of the actual work, and then ceased production in 2016. So a sad ending to what was this enormous baking operation. And they've started popping up, you know, in other parts of the world for where they've been created. South Africa, Mondelez South Africa, has three plants, if I'm not mistaken, producing the different elements of those components. And they have, you know, manufacturing now all around the world. Over 100 countries get these Oreo cookies. 2011, I think the production was about 35 billion, with a third of that just being eaten in the US. That had grown to about 40 billion by 2017. And obviously, they're expecting to see those numbers continue to climb. The final element, though, and I've always known Oreos has just been sort of a chocolate cookie. Officially, they are a chocolate sandwich cookie. But for the last couple of years, they've been adding in many other flavors. If you go to China, you can find a wasabi or hot wings flavor. There was a birthday cake flavor. There's watermelon flavored ones. And as they pointed out, whenever they introduce these sort of limited edition versions, they don't just see a spike in those versions. They see a spike in the traditional regular ones as well. And the most recent one was to promote Lady Gaga's album Chromatica. And so because Lady Gaga, that consisted of a salmon colored cookie with a malachite green filling. And the tech connection, if I had to have to go and find one, Android operating systems are named after confectionery. And the eighth edition was called the Oreo. And so, understandably, Oreos made an Android Oreo, which was a regular-looking Oreo, but had a green filling. But the final element I have for you, Bruce, is what is the difference between a biscuit and a cake?
Egg. No?
Nope. Egg will be found in both of them, depending on what you're making. It certainly isn't the thing that would differentiate them. And this came to a head in 1991, because in the UK, cakes are considered not luxury items, and so not subjected to VAT. Biscuits, on the other hand, are considered luxury items, and so VAT must be paid. And the McVitie's organization, subsequently bought out by, let me see who owns them now, United Biscuits, even though they themselves are a very old Scottish bakery, had a very popular brand called Jaffa Cakes. And Jaffa Cakes you found in the biscuit aisle, not in the cake aisle. You eat them with your hands. You have them with your tea. You don't eat them the way you typically eat cake. And so the tax authorities there said, well, you know, Jaffa Cakes, besides the name, these are obviously biscuits. Now, given the multi-million pounds that would be to be added to the cost ultimately every year for people to have to buy these things, they took it to court. And the lawyers, if you can imagine a court case where people are arguing the merits of baked goods, cakes versus biscuits, and how it goes about. Anyway, they did manage to win it, and they based it on two things. One, the word itself, biscuit, comes from French, meaning twice cooked. The notion is you bake it like you would a cake, then you put it back in the oven and you dry it out. So moisture is the key ingredient with these things. And the definition they came down to, and you can remember this for the future, is cakes go hard and dry when they go stale. Biscuits go soft and slightly soggy. So they brought in an oversized Jaffa cake, and while the court case was proceeding, they noted over time to see, did it go hard and dry? And because it did, the judge had to accept that this is invariably a cake, and so the tax authority said it is now exempt And the lawyers obviously could celebrate with a wonderful time. We wait to see now if Mondelez South Africa and decides to make that acquisition. I was quite fascinated with it, and I've left a whole bunch extra about the other big brands that own so many of the things we generally pop off to the supermarket and buy. As I say, again, operated by only just a few big companies.
Absolutely. I had that conversation, of course, earlier this week with a former chief executive and chair of PepsiCo, and that was Ms. Nui. It was a really interesting conversation. And so that, I'm sure we'll make it onto the best bits of the Money Show coming up on Friday. But thank you, Colin Cullis, Business Unusual.